Welcome to the Cyber Rats Podcast, where we're all about sharing the forbidden secrets and slightly embellished truths about corporate cybersecurity programs. We're ranting, we're raving, and we're telling you the stuff that nobody talks about on their fancy website and trade show giveaways, all to protect you from cyber criminals. And now, here's your hosts, Mike Rotondo, Zach Fuller, and Lauro Chavez.
Hello and welcome to the Cyber Rants Podcast. This is your co-host, Zach Fuller, joined by Mike Rotondo and Lauro Chavez. And this is the podcast where we answer your deepest questions about cybersecurity and compliance while we solve some of the world's biggest problems or something like that. Today, we are talking about another topic that is especially important and has tremendously beneficial, but it's another one of those things that a lot of people don't do. So before we dive into that, Lauro, we're going to switch it up a little bit today. Why don't you kick us off with the exploits?
Cool. Thanks, Zach. I don't really want to dive in, but if you haven't seen the Zero Day from Microsoft Exchange, make sure you Google Zero Day Microsoft Exchange and deploy those four patches that are out for that. I'm pretty sure that the seriousness of that, most of the organizations that at least are using Exchange have become aware of that. Something you're probably not aware of, though, is if you're using Zencart in any capacity, which has been out for a while, it's kind of a COTS product that you used to be able to go buy at Best Buy in a little box with a CD, kind of like AOL. But Zencart is sort of a e-commerce kind of shopping cart for your website if you're going to, you know, host some stuff, you're going to sell some merch. Anyways, really, really, really cool remote code execution has been written and validated for Metasploit. Pretty awesome stuff. It's a very simple Python script, but it deploys a server-side script to the database that calls back and gives you a remote command. Pretty awesome stuff. So make sure you're patching the CVE for that is from 2021 of this month. So make sure you look into that. It's 3291. And awesome stuff coming out of the some of the Metasploit teams. So very, very cool. Mike?
You know, change can be good. So we switched it up today. So here we go with the headlines. NSA and Microsoft promote a zero trust approach to cybersecurity. They're really pushing the combination of user and device data with security relevant information in order to do authentication. It's the admission that simple password isn't enough. MFA has been exploited. So we got to do something else. I'm calling BS on this pile, and this is just my personal opinion. In turn, caused SolarWinds 123 password leak from SolarWinds, former SolarWinds CEO says, I have a real problem with this. There should have been protections in place to keep an intern from creating an admin password. So
blame the intern.
Someone had to burn.
Poor kid, man.
I bet he was wearing a red shirt.
Yeah, as I was going to say, is this an episode of Star Trek where we have the unnamed crewman going down to the planet?
Jimmy's never making it back.
Yeah.
It's his first trip. He's never coming back.
But Kirk will mourn you for the rest of his days.
Sometimes you just pull the short straw, you know? It's just life, yeah. I guess.
You'll be mentioned in the captain's log forever.
Ensign, what's his name, got crushed by a boulder. Anyway... And from the I didn't know they still existed files, AOL phishing email states your account will be closed. I wasn't aware AOL was still a thing, but, you know, tell, you know, Granny and Pop and, you know, Mima and Grampy that, you know, they need to stop using AOL or they need to not click on this email. So
my brother has an AOL account from 1992, I believe, still.
Yeah, still. I find my AOL account works best with my dial-up modem.
Yeah, it's so hard to get 9600 baud these days.
A password's private post exposed in hack of Gab. So Gab has been hacked with some DDoS stuff in there. And so be careful with your social media. Malicious NPM packages target Amazon Slack with new dependency attacks. This is another attack creating, you know, hitting high-profile cybersecurity or high-profile tech. So Microsoft accuses China over email cyber attacks. Everybody that's surprised, please raise your hand that China is attacking our infrastructure. Telemarketing biz exposes 114,000 in cloud config error. So if telemarketers aren't bad enough, they're now exposing your data. Firm counts lending marketplace, LendingTree, Liberty Mutual Insurance, and smart security vendor Vivinet among its customers. So if you're a customer of one of those, You have a telemarketer reaching out to you. Your data may have been exposed. Microsoft rushes out patches for Exchange zero-day attacks. I didn't realize I still had this in there. But yeah, there's it's a mess. Go get it fixed. Palo Alto has also released some patches for it as well, so you can stop it at the perimeter. Cyber analyst finds links between SunCrypt and QNA Crypt ransomware. This is a Russian cyber criminal group called Full of Deep. I'm sure that translates to something really scary in Russian. But anyway, that's a new new ransomware that's out there. There's now fixed Linux kernel vulnerabilities enable local privilege escalations. So CVE 2021-26708. It appeared in Linux kernel version 5.5 in November 2019 and basically allowed for local privilege escalation. Ransomware as a service is a new big problem for businesses, much like the ever-evolving legitimate tech industry. Apparently, cyber criminals are now evolving to create a service industry called ransomware as a service. Beware of that, just like every other piece of ransomware out there.
All your computers belong to us.
Exactly. Microsoft, we're cracking down on Excel macro malware, according to them. Okay, we'll see it when it happens. Another Chrome zero-day exploit, so get that update done. Yep, Chrome is under attack. I think this is probably, there's been a bunch of these in the last couple of weeks. And lastly, CompuCom, MSP confirms ongoing outage following malware incident. This is something we've touched on in the book, actually, about concerns about MSPs, how they can, one MSP being taken down can take down a whole lot of other customers. So a whole lot of their customers. So beware, watch your MSP, make sure they're up to date in security, maybe get a security company to validate what they're actually doing. And ensure your company can maintain its focus and function. All right. From there, Zach, do you want to introduce it or you want me to introduce it?
I'll dive in just a minute. I'm updating Chrome here.
All right.
No, really, today we are talking about something that non-technical people or people without a background in this would talk about, those pictures with the circle thingies connected to the square thingies and the lines, and there's some numbers and letters and such. And oftentimes that's how they're recognized, and they can be extremely confusing to people. But our assumption is that if you're listening to this podcast, you probably have some level of technical background. And so for this purposes of this podcast, we are talking about network architecture diagrams. And we'll start out before diving into how they should be made, what should be included and such. I think it's most important to share a little bit about our thoughts on why they're important. So why should an organization have architecture diagrams in place, up to date? To add to that question, why are so many companies missing those?
Well, I think what's happening is it's becoming a compliance requirement, first of all, but it is a best practice, more importantly. And I think what you need is not only network, but you need infrastructure, you need data flow diagrams in order to be able to track your data sufficiently and understand, have a visual picture of how your infrastructure actually works. But it's also critical for your DR, disaster recovery, IR, incident response, your business continuity, to be able to recreate your existing environment. If something, God forbid, happens, it's bad. There's a lot out there that, if you're a big company, you probably already got this, right? But for the small to medium size or emerging market companies, these things are critical. You need to be able to put the pieces back together when Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall. And visual diagrams will help you do that. Now, there's two types of diagrams. There's the machine-generated diagram, and then there's the infrastructure diagram that you actually hand draw. I think everybody on this call would lean towards the one that you hand draw, not because it's great billable hours that you do while listening to music and drinking scotch, but because it is something that you can be more in depth, it's more effective, and it certainly is a lot cleaner. So that's my soapbox moment. Laurel, I'm assuming you have comments, or Zach?
I had a friend of mine that got himself promoted up into IT management. We were out at lunch one day and he said, I'm new to this role. Is there any advice that, you'd give me that I could really kind of take with me? And I kind of thought a minute and I said, always remember. No, that's it. There's no punchline. I mean, it was just general advice. Always remember. Right. So just 'cause it's a it's good to not forget things.
And then you walked away.
Yeah, and then he walked away. There's no always remember.
This was the intern you were talking to?
So, no.
Always remember, SolarWinds123 is a great password.
That is. Always remember. Like, yeah, you don't want to forget stuff. Anyways, so I could say never forget. I almost told him that too. But then he would ask me the same thing, never forget what? I'm like, no, just never forget anything ever. Part of that joke is enter into the network diagram, right? The infrastructure diagram, the architecture diagram, the drawing with the pretty colors that needs to be very detailed. You know, Mike, I think everything you said is absolutely true and necessary. And I think, you know, if we look at civil engineering, how they, you know, can't build things without permits. And, you know, you have to have these blueprints that, you know, really, you know, I'm sure that there are a lot of really smart civil engineers who could just go build a house, right? Yeah. But to do it right, when they want to do it right, they build the diagram first, the blueprint, and they lock out where everything's going to go, the electrical outlets, where the plumbing, they know how many feet of everything they need, right? It's all in the building materials, right, on the BOM. And we can so benefit from that method of thinking as we mm-hmm. go into infrastructure and technology with software and everything else, because those diagrams have to be that source of truth. And like you said, when Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall, you better have some method that's, you know, I can't tell you how many companies that we've worked with recently that only were taking snapshots. They had no real backup plan and the snapshots weren't complete. And so it was a, you know, when you have to rebuild in a bad time, it's a lot better when you have everything that you can have around you to make that process simpler and happen faster, because not only is you're going to be on the wire to build it all back, but you're going to have people looking at you and sitting over your shoulder watching you recover this, waiting. Right. Like I wait for the guy at the Dairy Queen to make my smoothie. Actually, it's not a smoothie. I lied. It's one of the ones with candy in it. What do they call that? Concrete.
That's a blizzard.
A blizzard. Thank you, sir. Yeah. But I stand there at the counter anxiously waiting.
I prefer the peanut butter parfait. That's mine.
Parfait. Yeah.
This show is not sponsored in any part by Dairy Queen, any subsidiaries or affiliates of Dairy Queen.
Nor do we recommend the consumption of any dairy products that might include lactose.
Exactly.
You know, obviously, when something breaks, it helps to have a blueprint to understand how to fix it, right? So that's critical. Now, let's talk about, you know, what are your thoughts from an incident response perspective? What happens if you don't have good diagrams and something happens that's potentially malicious in nature?
Screaming.
I mean, yeah.
Panic.
Gnashing of teeth, pulling of hair.
Blaming, pointing the fingers at the intern. Yeah. Ensign Bilbo. It's fault. He had the password.
Yeah.
123, we entrusted you. You had one job. Protect the password. Yeah. You were the password vault. You're not supposed to put it online.
You know, what happens is that you don't necessarily know how everything goes back together again, right? I mean, you don't know what device goes on or what, you know, take example, ESX host, right? You don't know what VMs go on what server necessarily. You don't know what connectivity is required. You don't know what ports are required to be open. You do not know what's encrypted, what's not encrypted. You may have a vague idea, but it would be better to have a blueprint, right? It would be better to have a map that shows you where to go, right? I mean, Google Maps is a thing for a reason, because we all want to know how to get to someplace, right?
Yeah, when you have hardware security modules that you've deployed, like maybe in like almost $2 million worth.
Yeah.
And then somebody leaves and you put somebody in charge that doesn't know what they're doing, and they have to figure out how to update them and configure them and what communication is required, how they're deployed today, what that looks like. I mean, that's just like such a helpful handoff, right, for somebody coming on that doesn't have
just in case, just hypothetically speaking, you're saying, right?
Yeah. Like, you know, just in case.
Just that was a totally hypothetical scenario.
Hypothetical scenario. hypothetical, you know, and it could be anything, right? I mean, it could be, you know, it could be another, like an antivirus solution, you know what I mean? But there are a lot more components that just, you're going to worry about your main things like Exchange, right? An Active Directory. You're going to want to get that going so everybody can get onto the network, right? If you're Microsoft, you're going to believe that that is establishing, that is the number one step back to normaldom. So you'll go that route, but then you'll have ancillary things that are out there, your web apps, internal applications that are running for people, your hardware security modules. Maybe there's, you know, now firewalls need to be redeployed or re-architected because of changes. The more data you have on what that port protocol and everything else looks like coming in and out of those tech is going to help you rebuild that infrastructure quicker, mm-hmm. better, stronger.
So it ties back into your business continuity plan as well. Capacity planning, right? I mean, and it should be integral to your change management.
Yep. And right. Vendor vetting.
Yeah.
For tech vendors. Yeah. And so it's, you know, it's critical for a lot of reasons. You know, obviously basically to run the operations of your and security measures around your technologies. What would you say? So when you're going into an organization, so let's say an organization has no architecture diagrams, or maybe they have some kind of automated, you know, stuff that was just made with a tool and isn't very accurate or helpful. What are your steps, or what is your approach to building these, for in case somebody wants to go in and take this on yourself? What advice would you give them to start building out their diagrams for their organization?
Ooh, I got one. I got two. This is my method. I don't know, Mike, you might agree with. I think we've done this. Like, first off, you got to get a room with a big whiteboard.
Yeah.
You got dry erase markers, the squirt stuff that cleans the board really nice, and a good set of wipes. And then you got to make sure there's food on site. Okay. Because you're not going to get any information out of anybody without the nibbles on site. So make sure you invest in those two things first.
And don't skimp on the bagels. Get the good bagels. Don't, you know, pay the extra $5 and go to a good deli and get good bagels.
You want good data. You got to have good bagels.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank
you. And get the cream cheese with the lox in it. If you really, you know what I mean? Like, come on now. Ask for capers on the side. It'll make a world of difference to the individuals that are going in there. And then here's the thing is it, let everybody eat first. Okay. Let them have their bagel and get down. Let them at least get 4 bites in before you start grilling them on the board. But start on the board, little simple things as they eat, write some things down, some, you know, objectives you want to accomplish, right? It's an information gathering session, right? With picture drawing. And then you've got to have a camera on site because you're going to need to remember what you drew on the whiteboard that then you can then take back to Visio or eDraw or some other program, right? Where you're going to put this in PowerPoint.
Yeah, and if you start before you let them eat a little bit, all they're going to be thinking about is, damn, I got this great bagel in front of me.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. After I've had about 3 or 4 bites, I'm all yours. That's fine. Just let me have like half of it.
Yeah, half a cup of coffee, you know. Yeah.
So yeah. Ease into that meeting, but you know, you have to run it like you really have to do a whiteboarding session. And you know, now with COVID and everything, you can use Google or anything else to do the whiteboard sessions. But it's helpful to get the right people in the room. And I think that's the next most important thing besides the good food and the whiteboard and the colorful markers. Mike, how do you think is the best to get the right people? Because we see a lot where we'll be in there, we'll ask questions, and the individual will know maybe 2 things of the 40 things we need to know.
Well, I think it shows that sometimes management doesn't know who the right people are. So you really actually need to talk to the SMEs, because they'll be like, oh no, that's Fred that does that. It's not, you know, it's not me. He's the guy that knows all that stuff. Or, you know, this guy has all the tribal knowledge, or she's the one that, you know, does the, you know, has created a database schema and this, that, and the other thing. So it's a lot of times it's like the pre-meeting is what's going to tell you how to get the right people into there. Right, people into the whiteboard meeting.
So I mean, you can bring everybody in for, you know, just a big, you know, one-time meeting to talk about what the initiatives are, and then out of that have the breakout sessions. And then I think I've always benefited by, you know, doing it by the layers, right? Meeting with the network team, understanding what they've got going on, and then bringing in the tools teams there, you know, as well, mm-hmm. As they're needed to have those kind of breakout sessions so that you can start putting that kind of like a holistic diagram set together.
Yeah.
But
I can tell you what not to do before those meetings. I remember a time when we were traveling, and one of the consultants we were traveling with decided that he wanted to drink a lot the night before, slammed a couple of Bakers, which, as you know, is 130 proof bourbon. And proceeded to actually get up in the middle of a meeting and leave. And we looked out the window and he was horking in a parking space just outside the window, which was great in front of the client, I thought.
That was not me for people.
No, it's nobody on this call. Like, some of you on this call, or some of you listening to this podcast may know exactly who I'm talking about, but.
No names to have no place here.
No.
What?
There's more to that story. I just gave you the highlights, but yeah.
Don't be flammable when you walk to the meeting room.
So you have your data collection session and hopefully nobody walks out thrown up. But once you've done that, what do you guys find as far as back and forth goes? Once you're sitting down in front of your machine and actually on Visio drawing these out, then what?
Well, I find, and I, you know, we joked about it, but you know, you get your pictures out. If you have a couple monitors, that'll help because you can keep a picture up and then look at the Visio. But you know, create a relaxing environment for you. It's hard as hell to do in a cubicle. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, the best drawings that I do, just like the best writing I do, is at night. You have my music on. I'm in a relaxed, you know, area, my space, and start drawing, you know.
In the nude.
No, we're not going to do that.
It's good. Oh, I was talking about me. My bad. Yeah. But yes.
No. Well, you have a stand-up desk. I have a sit-down, so, you know.
It's true. Touche, sir. Touche. But yes, find some place relaxing. And you're absolutely right. You know, the easiest thing to do is to whiteboard it out with everybody in the room. Make it a fun thing, right? Try to make it fun because it's you know, people are going to have different opinions on why this information is being yanked out of them, right? So make sure you make it fun. Make sure everybody's involved and take pictures with your camera phone. And make sure you take those pictures home if you be in a relaxed place, however you prefer, a robe, silky. And slippers,
aromatherapy candles.
Oh, peaches and bourbon burning in the background. Yeah. Sometimes some Nag Chamba, maybe just a little. yeah. But what's important is that you take that data that you got from those sessions and that you can then accurately report it back to, you know, whatever, you know, I guess application you're going to keep it in, right? Visio or eDraw. I think those are probably two main ones. I think CAD's kind of unrealistic. Although Microsoft Word or PowerPoint are going to be sufficient at first, I think what's important to talk about now is probably the data that you need to include. And that's probably one of the things that I think gets missed in a lot of the drawings we see, wouldn't you say, Mike? I think I don't want to talk bad about people's artwork, right? I think having anything is great, right? But you should be looking to improve always, right? Personal philosophy. Anyways, the data that exists on there needs to really be detailed. And I mean, what? Yeah, and relevant. And so not only does the data need to be accurate, it needs to be a part of the change process so that you're looking at the document when the architecture or something in the architecture changes, and to review the document before you make a change to make sure you're not modifying any of the architecture that may require other departments or other changes. Right. They need to be a source of truth, almost like your policy documentation, right, Mike? I mean,
Yeah.
You know, so ports and protocols, right? We do colors, right? So reds are secured transmission. So if you're running TLS from a database to a web app, as an example, right? It's going to be, you know, red. If you're running just plain old SQL, it's going to be black. Right. Or you can make database connections another color. Right. I mean, but they need to include everything that application needs. And you're going to find that by RTFM. Right. Right. You're going to need to read the manuals.
Right.
And go to the vendor, find out what ports and protocols are being used. Put your names on there. What are you calling it? Is this, you know, did you give it some weird name from, you know, the constellations? You know, it's going to make you look at your naming convention also in your organization, like, because these servers need to have, you know, FQDNs. Right. So they can operate internally. Mm-hmm. And they need to have an IP address. You probably don't need the Mac on there, but it might be helpful. But
then you run into space issues with the Mac. But yeah, I mean, the IP, the memory, the disk, the OS version, you know, all those kind of things need to be on every server.
Yeah, because if you've got to rebuild a VM and you didn't know how much resources it had at first, you may have problems and not be aware that you're not given enough memory.
Right.
So that's stuff that would have all been sorted out in real-time operations that then could have been reflected into the diagram. You would have that truth, right, someplace other than a technology that could be turned down, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, what data cluster it connects to, what ports, obviously, which you touched on, what inbound ports are open to it, you know, does, you know, you know, that, I mean, that's the big ones, right? I mean.
Yeah, inbound ports always, and then that's going to help you with PCI and other types of initiatives that are asking you to understand what inbound, you know, connections you require versus outbound, and the whole authorized ports and protocols conversation, right? Yeah. It'll help you understand that. And this may be big drawing, right? It may take up multiple pages. There's really no wrong way to do it. I think as long as you approach it from a data science perspective and just try to record everything accurately and as it exists today so that you could build it back, right?
Well, and especially I was just thinking about VLANs, right? I mean, what ports are allowed to access through what VLAN? What, you know, what firewall context is allowing what ports to get into what area, what traffic, you know, if you have that much of a network, you know, segmentation.
Yeah, actually, I think we have a example up in our resources for the Cyber Rants.
Oh, yeah, I think we do.
I believe so. Well, and is it okay to use emojis for poorly configured or well-configured systems?
No.
that's not allowed?
You might just stop doing that then. I didn't know that, Mike. Oh. You should let me know that. I've been using that eggplant one a lot. Top with that. Okay, I thought that meant it was good.
Or the ice cream with the eyes?
Yeah, damn. I thought that meant it was good. Oh, I got to stop.
Yeah.
I miss Clippy. I could just ask it a question.
Well, that was a good talk on something that people need, but oftentimes hate to do.
Throwing the caveat that we are actually doing this at 9 o'clock in the morning, not 5 o'clock at night at a bar. So just so you're aware.
Yep, that's right. I did have a cup of black tea, which does have some caffeine. So
wild, man.
Yeah, I put almond milk in my coffee this morning.
Well, any final comments or smart remarks about architecture diagrams?
Just do them, you know?
Do them?
Yeah, it's like washing your armpits. You just got to do it.
Yeah. Change your underwear.
Yeah, it's good hygiene. Like, you know, you wouldn't run around with lice, would you? I mean, maybe you would. I don't know.
If you tie it into your change management process, it becomes, I mean, it's initially a heavy lift. But once you tie it into your change management process, it becomes just minor, you know, 15, 20 minutes here or there, you know, depending on the amount of change you actually have in your environment. So just like everything else we do from a compliance standpoint, right? It's compliance spreadsheets that look massive and scary, and then you go through it and you're probably 60% done just by doing best practices. One, you know, it makes it much simpler. You just kind of get over that initial hurdle, that initial big lift, get the diagrams done, and then just integrate it into your operational behavior. Okay. And it just makes life easier that way.
Keep it up to date. Don't let it get old and broken and as the old army saying goes, if it ain't broke, fix it until it is. Keep them going. Yeah, I think key takeaways from today. First one, build your architecture diagrams or get somebody in there to do it for you. But either way, it should be done, critical, and will make your life a lot easier moving forward. And then second takeaway, of course, is always blame the intern. So thank you very much for joining us today. Please rate our podcast, reach out, let us know your comments, ideas, thoughts, things that you want us to talk about, and we will address those in future episodes. Have a great day.
Pick up your copy of the Cyber Ants book on Amazon today. And if you're looking to take your cybersecurity program to the next level, visit us online at www.silentsector.com. Join us next time for another edition of the Cyber Ants podcast.